Hello, friends. Welcome today to the Attack and Release Show. Woo! This is Josh Bonanno.
Hey there, guys. I'm Josh Bonanno, and that is how you pronounce my name correctly.
Josh Bonanno. I'm joined by my friends, Sam Moses and Matt Garber. Say hello. Show takeover today. It is a show takeover. I'm going to be asking these two lovely gentlemen questions that pop into my head. They might be pertaining to mastering or music or nothing at all. We will find out. So that was my intro. I don't know how to. I don't know where to transition from there now. So I'll let you guys
know. You now cue Sam up for housekeeping.
Okay.
The housekeeping.
So it is that time of the show, friends, where we cue Sam up for housekeeping.
Everyone's a
Sam,
friend.
Take it away.
Housekeeping. Thank you, my friends, for being here. Listener, audience, truly appreciate it. It's a gift to have you with us. It's a gift to have Josh with us. He's a very busy, busy man in high demand for mixing. You can find him at Josh Bonanno on Instagram. Check him out if you need some records mixed. But this is our housekeeping. So this is that unique time where you can screenshot this episode, post it on Instagram. This time you can tag me, Moses Mastering, or tag Matt for the record mastering, or Josh at Josh Bonanno. Bonanno. Throwback.
Bonanno.
For our listeners.
Great throwback.
Tag us. Talk to us, DM us. We love getting to know our community. That's really why we love housekeeping, get to know y'all one-on-one. Then we also get to do a little cross-marketing, which seems to be helpful for everybody. And then the show reaches more people, so then we meet more people, then we learn about things, and then we all make records better together. And that's housekeeping. Yeah.
Right on.
Whew.
Love it. Thank you, Sam. For that lovely housekeeping.
Thank you.
I can attest to the idea that sharing and cross-promoting is very useful in this business and industry. I feel like every time I meet somebody new, it's usually through you or because of you or Instagram sort of, Sam, I've worked with, Sam, Josh, or Josh, Sam. You know, it's always something like that, so it's fun.
That's great. That's why we do this.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me crash your show today, guys.
Of course.
Sure.
I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah. I'm excited to have you on.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm going to fire some things away, you guys, and we'll see where the conversation goes. But did we want to set maybe a timer just to keep some restraints on this to not go too in the weeds?
Yeah.
I got us.
You know, we'll do a soft timer where we maybe... You know, nudge gently if things are getting a little
soft
out of hand.
Egg, a runny yolk.
Is this like a timer? Like, you know, I'm assuming both of us may answer the same question. So is it like a timer per person or like a timer for?
Yeah, let's timer per person, I think.
right on.
And we'll do
so we're going to start with 3 minutes.
Yeah,
if
I was
going to
say three's
more.
Perfect.
Cool.
Three's perfect. Are you the timer man, Matt?
I got you, man.
Oh, nice. Matt is designated timer man, and Sam is always housekeeping. Is that how it goes around
Pretty
here?
Much. Yeah.
Well, with housekeeping, Sam kind of brings the party,
I see.
I'm kind of a little more of the organization.
This is true.
But Sam just likes to party. He's just here for the. He's here for the housekeeping.
I'm here
party.
For the eggs.
Sam is the
to
party,
be queued up first.
I'm just here to be.
It's generally how
to
we
be
roll.
Queued up and, you know, really just put on a pedestal, and you know, I'm just here to look good, sound good.
He likes to be pampered.
I like to be pampered. Matt really pampers me every week. Honestly, it's great.
It's getting weird.
Oh boy, Sam, what would we do with
question
that
one?
Question one.
Cool. So I'm gonna fire away. I'll let whoever wants to jump in. But I think a good starting point is, why don't you guys tell me what your most persistent thought currently is right now? What keeps you up at night? What's been running through your mind?
My most persistent thought. Matt, if you have one, go ahead. I'm trying to think which direction I want to take this because I have a few different persistent thoughts.
Well, you got 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
Oh, gosh.
Got a boogie.
What one's the most pervasive? Which one really just continually bubbles to the surface?
The one that bubbles to surface always is how are people still getting duped about luffs and loudness and normalization?
That's what keeps you up at night?
I mean, kind of. It's like
you lay in bed. You're just like
thinking about
luffs, still king.
You know, just like what is happening? How is it? How are we still every week? I know
well, tell,
why, because
okay,
bad education.
Well, tell me as a mixer who uses WLM meter on my mix bus to check everything, and all I care about is hitting over -8 luffs, why I'm wrong and what's wrong with me doing that.
Because luffs is just such a small snapshot of the song as a whole. It is just a very small window of consideration.
But if that's what everybody's referencing, then why do I care about RMS or durometers or some
other
metering thing?
It gives you the full picture, and because you can go on to normalization, just because everybody's focusing on luffs in theory, which they're not. I know that it doesn't mean it's accurate or good. Like luffs is just a top end measurement basically. And it ignores you cannot know what your compression is based on luffs. You cannot know really what the low end is doing based on luffs. And so it's just giving you like a 1 to 5K range. And then also the standard luffs meter has a really weird gate on it that, this gets into Spotify and normalization is if your song is actually too dynamic, it doesn't consider basically 10 decibels of volume change in the equation of what the luffs reading actually is of your song. So if you have like a really dynamic intro or like say 10 dB difference basically between verse to chorus, it actually doesn't even consider your verse. So where people find these inconsistencies within normalization on Spotify, because everybody always just cares about Spotify, it seems, it has to do with luffs being highly inaccurate in trying to normalize something as a whole. I don't have an issue with luffs. I would like to see luffs, DR, and RMS all summed into one Sam Moses meter. That then tells
now that actually see now that's interesting and useful.
Correct.
I would reference because I understand what you're saying, the technicalities of it. I only care about luffs because I know the first thing anybody's doing is putting WLM meter on it and going, oh, it's only 5 luffs. Make it
right.
4, you know.
Right.
Like,
there's
so,
nothing really
at that point,
wrong
that's all
with luffs, but there is the application of how we use it is very detrimental in trying to figure out what a song is doing or how loud it actually is. And the inconsistencies we get a lot on with normalization on have to do with luffs shortcomings. And so it's not a one-stop shop, really. And especially with the compression conversation of unless we are full-scale pushing it essentially like non-normalized, you still can't know how compressed a song is. And people don't understand that. They're like, oh, it's -14 luffs, but it could be -5 dR, or it could be -18 dR. Like, you know, that's the whole point of normalization of luffs is basically to make them both play back in theory at the same loudness. But it does not tell you compression. And I run into that all the time where people think, you know, they're like, well, this song's -8 luffs that I'm referencing. And, you know, it's not very compressed. And I'm like, it's hella compressed. They just knocked the output down. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, it's empty headroom.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's
so that it's just,
but that it's
all of
it's
that.
everything affects every, you know, what
right.
I mean, nobody understands the idea of empty headroom and
right.
what's the where's
Absolutely.
Your zero at and whatever.
So, anyway, I'm way over my time, but that does keep me up at night because it's not just luffs and normalization. It gets into the lack of education of understanding things like essentially empty headroom or compression and what that means and DR and RMS and all these things that are actually really important to getting a really great sounding record, in my opinion. Okay, done. Pass.
Matt, what keeps you up at night? What's your most persistent thought?
I have like an immediate follow-up to kind of answer Josh's question.
Great.
As far as like, I don't know, it was kind of going in the direction of, well, everyone uses it. How can it be wrong? And it's like when you define Luffs, like what actually is, what like, what was the intent of it? And so it's like, say like with my children, if I'm going to discipline my child for doing something, something that I try to do as a dad is I'm like, what was the heart behind what they did? And if like the heart behind it was like, you know, evil, then it's like, okay, punishment then like needs to not necessarily like reflect that, but it needs to, you know, there needs to be punishment. But if it was just like, they don't know how to express their emotion and it was taken in a weird way, then it probably, it's like, hey, we should do a little bit more parenting in this moment. Mm. And so it's like, as far as Luffs was intended to essentially be a direct reflection on how we interpret any type of audio source. You can go back and look at the original research papers that were conducted and everything. And when they first did the research, which I've said this in like, I think episode 20 something, like our first Luffs episode, the sample size was too small and like they didn't have enough data. And so it was first rejected, I think one or two times. And they were testing it on like, I think they called it like a spheroid for like a human head. And yeah, it was like the whole thing is just like so backwards.
Yeah.
And they were just trying to do it for TV standards and then it made its way over. And then, you know, certain talking heads didn't make it any better and now it's into music. And so it's like, okay, well, this is how we register the volume of an input source as humans with ears and that's like that. To me, why it doesn't make sense is it's why like temperature exists in like, okay, this is the temperature outside and Luffs is the, like for whatever reason, it's like the feels like temperature. I don't know why we have a feels like temperature. And it's like everyone going around being like, oh, it's 114 outside. And it's like,
yeah, but
no,
it's
you
dry
moron. It's 96.
But it's a dry.
Yeah, but it feels like 114 is like, yeah, but it's not 114. And so it's that is Luffs to me. Is it does, it's everyone going around using the feels like temp.
Wow. That's
because a good nobody
one.
Does that. We just use the feels like temp in our own brain so that we can feel some sort of self-pity. Of like, oh yeah, I knew it felt hotter than it was.
Wow.
But it's like at the end of the day, no, it's that's it.
That just schooled me right there. I like that a lot. I'm going to care. Not that I cared about Luffs, but again, it was just, I mean.
Dude, when you like put it in those terms, it really irks you. Also,
yeah, it's fun. I like that.
There is a meter. I really want FabFilter to make this meter. I think the best meter exists on their Pro L2.
Yeah.
Where you can switch it between RMS and Luffs and whatnot.
I've heard you talk about that, and I use that one a lot. I put a lot of stock in that.
I really, really wish they would just make a meter that you could just like switch or read everything. But like some of the meters that like Ozone or who Isotope makes, and there's one other company, I think DMG makes one. They're the whole darn screen. It's like, I don't need this much information. I need you on the side so that you're useful. And so it's, I feel like FabFilter, they're totally the people to do it. And I've never reached out to them, but I've had this idea for a couple years. I won't take up much more time because we're, you know, I'm over my time, I suppose. My most persistent thought, it's really weird. And it's split between three things. And if I'm categorizing it of like things that keep me up at night, I'm really getting into this beer making thing. The next type of like beer stuff I want to make, I'm trying to use like less plastic in the beer making thing just because, you know, microplastics and, you know, carrying that stuff around you with you forever. So making beer, I really want to do a cross-country motorcycle trip next year. And so I'm looking a lot into motorcycles. And I really hope alien technology is real. That's totally a wild card.
Wow.
But there's this whole notion that the government's had a lot of, you know, alien technology that they've suppressed. And it's like, well, I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at them if they do. But if they are suppressing it, that means if we figure it out, then it pretty much changes the way the world looks in the next 20 years.
Wow.
That's what keeps me up at night.
I'm going to have some new persistent thoughts after that.
I'll send you some documentaries. It'll blow your mind. It's like all like Nikola Tesla stuff. And it's and like devices that can allegedly pull energy out of like the air. I've sent it to Sam.
Yeah.
It's like
I'm a believer.
Everybody who goes to get a patent, everyone who goes to get a patent on this stuff
dies.
Winds up dead.
Whoa.
And then there are people in this documentary from the US Patent Office being like, hey, I want to, and I've applied and I have been awarded several patents. So like I understand this process. There's like people in the patent office who are like, hey, I want to assign this device, this like, you know, nomenclature of code for like identification. And they're like, no, we reserve that for like specific energy generating devices. And they're like, what? And they're like, yeah, you probably won't need it. But it kind of like essentially puts a red flag by that device. And then all these people wind up dead.
Wow.
And it is pretty wild.
This is
anyway,
not a conspiracy. This is just
see now that
dead.
Dude, it's like 100 people.
Yeah.
See,
and all
why,
these people are so smart, they just wash up because they think that they got something.
That's why Lufs to me doesn't matter because things like that exist in the world. And that's why I'm going to continue.
But it's the whole thing. If you can pull energy out of the air, if you can pull energy out of the air and like everyone's all in these like vibrations and stuff now, if you can pull energy right. out of the air, then it's like you essentially can create water at any time and you can create agriculture at any time for literally solving world hunger within like years as opposed to decades. And you can solve a lot of problems. And so you can literally just, I don't know. I'll have to send this to you. It's really, really neat. Anyway, next question.
Moving on. What inspires you?
What inspires me? Gosh, my immediate thought was money.
We already know that's your answer, Sam.
I really was like, money. Yes. The things I can do with money. That's what inspires me.
I mean, at
the
least
freedom
you're
it brings. That's it. I won't ramble about it. That was my immediate
That's
thought,
fair.
So I'm
That's
sticking
totally
with it.
That's totally fair.
Yep.
Matt, what inspires
my
you?
My turn?
Yes.
I will push lap. That was a cool 33 seconds. I'm actually writing all these down. I don't know if I'm going to actually make like, you know, like notes in the podcast so people can, whatever. They call them liner notes, I think. I don't know. We've never done them. What inspires me? I'll be really corny, honestly. I'd say like my kids, my wife, it's like not in that order. And then just like, you know, just genuine adventure and like just, it's really corny, but just like, you know, experiencing life. And I feel like when you get older, you're just kind of like, holy crap, this is so finite. Like I have 5 years till I'm 40. And then it's like my wife has some friends who are in their early 40s. And I'm like, yeah, you're in 7 years, you're going to be 50. And it's like, what have you done? And I think I said it on a podcast that dropped today is like, what inspires me is genuinely looking back on a life worth like a life like well lived and essentially chasing that adventure and whatever that means. And this season, you know, being a dad, being a husband and trying to, you know, navigate those waters, I suppose. So that's me.
That's meaningful. That's really... It's really
great,
it's
Matt.
Beautiful, Matt. That's beautiful.
Sorry, Sam.
I'm realizing why that's what I mean too. The money allows me to do all that and have adventure.
Matt but I don't
would
need
find
money
a way
to
even
do
without
all
the
that.
Money. Yeah. Matt would find a way.
Matt needs money. You're trying to take a
I'm
bike
totally
ride across
fine.
The country.
I mean, well,
you need money for that.
I mean, motorcycle ride would be pretty dope, but you need money to do that.
Right.
But at the same point, it's like I could be broke poor and I would just find other local adventure of like, yeah, Emery, let's go take a stick out of the woods and a string and let's go make bow and arrows today.
I know that.
It's like, that's badass. Poor. It's like, or let's go take sticks and tie a string to it and go like go fishing or something like that. It's like, there's no reason. You can do a lot of damage with a stick and a string. But it's like, let's just go do manly stuff. Or, hey, Elliot, let's go have a tea party. You don't need any money to do that. Get some Dixie cups.
Tea's expensive.
You're good to go.
My gosh.
Yo, it's water. I'm not feeding a three-year-old caffeine.
The tea you're drinking, Sam. Yeah.
Yeah.
High Garden tea in Nashville is outrageous.
Sam's really spilling the tea on this episode.
That's why I need all my money so I can pay for a Nashville cup of tea.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, that's great. I think that leads into like a fun... another question thought that is maybe broad and open-ended, but like, what's the point of all this? Like, what is the point of us, the three of us sitting in a room, making records, finishing records, trying to make it set? Like, what's the point?
For me, the point is always just communal relationship building. And then I learn things. That's it. Mm. That's really why I do it. I'm fascinated with people and why they do what they do. And then it's like almost a selfish thing is like I feel like how to be a better human by interacting with more humans and getting like a more well-rounded view of what it means to be human. And that then brings a lot more joy in my life. Like having that constant expansion of meeting artists and hearing their stories and their songs and then figuring out how do we best represent that and then make it also be then like tangible for the audience to consume it properly and not be like a hot mess or a distraction. And that's why I do it. I do it for the community. I love people and relationships, and music is just the avenue in which I do that best in.
So can we air the part now where you say that you do it for the money?
And then I do it for the money. I definitely got into music for the money. For sure. That was my thought. I'm going to be rich and get in the music industry.
Matt, no. Save us from this dumpster fire.
So is this like... So is this like why we are doing what... Is this why we are doing what we are doing?
I don't know.
Like,
you tell
in
me
the
what's...
music industry? Well, I'm trying to decipher because it took like one of two ways, and Sam's answer was directly related to work and mastering. And so I just want to make sure I'm answering this accurately. And I know we're just having fun here, but
it doesn't have to be about mastering. Mastering could just be the job that you have, and that's just what provides, or it could be that mastering is the thing. I mean, I don't know. Just what's the point? I guess what's the point of life, or what's the point of
I'm going to stick along the same point as Sam, just to keep things cohesive. And no, I'm not going to like
changing your
don't
tune
get me wrong.
To
your
money.
Answer. No, your answer is great. Your answer is genuine to you, and I'm not going to take that. But what I'm saying is, I'm going to phrase the question in a term of, like, in a term of audio, in a term of mastering and whatnot.
Sure.
I find myself kind of like, you ever like run front of house, do like make, like, you know, have a mix or master a song, and you just kind of get those goosebumps. And yeah. I don't know what it is. Mm. There's something there that is, I don't want to say it's like drug-like, but you definitely, like, every time I'd say like mix front of house for somewhere, I'm always kind of chasing that.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody who does it knows when they get it. And you're a bit of a crackhead for it. And it's like everything just starts to drive, especially when you can, this is going to sound weird, but when you can do it, especially front of house at like a lower volume, and you can just make everything sound, even if it's a large room, you can just make a really neat instrumental, however many people are on stage, you just kind of make it intimate, and you essentially are facilitating that connection between the listener and the artist. And I'm honestly just really happy that I get to play a part in that. I mean, there's a monetary aspect of it. I mean, that's nice, and it, you know, gives you some walking around money. It's my grandfather would say, he called it his wham money. But it's like at the same time, it's like being able to facilitate that connection between people and music and hope that they get to experience, you know, the cool stuff that you experience whenever you're making it or mastering it and just bringing it across the line. I mean, that's the point. That's what I really nice. Like. I'm kind of chasing the goosebumps, I suppose.
Yeah, chasing the high.
I guess.
That's
crackhead.
That's great. You're obviously not jaded at all yet, and that's very inspiring.
I'm pretty jaded, man. I'm there.
Okay, you guys are both, you know, have careers and have names that people know, I feel like. What do you think is, like, what was a defining, maybe, like, turning point in your career that you can kind of trace back to being, like, okay, that like, something shifted there. Go ahead.
Let's see, a defining shift moment.
Or maybe probably, there wasn't one, and that could be an answer.
Well, I mean, there's, gosh darn it. There was a moment of money where I could finally pay the bills. Like, that was a internal for my wife and I, like a shift of like, okay, like we can pay the bills and we have a little more. Yeah. And then it kept going like that. That's a huge moment for us, for me. You know, that that's was like year five, you know.
That's the origin story of just your money-hungry tirade now.
Yes, yeah, yes.
That was before the four houses and everything. Yeah, I got it.
Right. But the career thing, I mean, it'd probably be, you know, the first time you do a project that, you know, someone actually recognizes, like a C or a B-level artist, I'll call them.
Yeah.
You know, and like your friend recognizes or your mom does, or you meet a stranger, you know, people all the time are like, have you worked on anything I would know?
Do you want to throw names out? Do you want to say what like that first record was for you?
The first like bigger record was the Carrie Job record I did, which I mixed and like engineered vocals for. And that was like the second year in town. And I ended up doing that whole record accidentally, basically, because the the producer was a goofhead.
Name drop. Tell who. I'm just kidding.
No, he's gone.
I love that story.
He literally left town. But anyway, I mean, yeah, that was a big one. Like, didn't even know it was going to my role in it and end up being larger than I expected. And then that was a kind of a leverage / springboard to other things. And I'm just so grateful, to be honest, that they gave me a shot. They didn't have to, but they let me do a couple songs and it worked out all right. So that was a big one. But yeah, I mean, it's that moment where I think, you know, when you meet a stranger or someone and they're like, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I'm a master engineer. You're like, what is that? Oh, you know, I work on records for bands or finish them, is what I would tell them now. Back then, you know, I'd be like, oh, well, it's kind of like EQ and blah, blah, blah. And that's still connect. And they're like, oh, is it, you know, anybody I know? And for a lot of years, it'd be like, nope, definitely not. like, I'm pretty sure no. You know, you name a few and they're like, oh, yeah, maybe I've heard of that. And you're like, yeah.
Oh, the fatal.
You know, that feeling.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Like, oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. And then you're like, well, it was on a show once. Like, oh, okay, yeah. Okay,
always, sure, yeah, the you know. Saving.
You know, it was on A&E one time. I'm like, oh, A&E, I know what that is. That's a channel. Okay. But then when you start having some artists, maybe it is on actual radio, like real radio or like real Billboard charting, you know, things of that nature. Then that's a really special moment, you know? And now it's, you know, I'm 14 years into it and there's a lot of those now. And it's just tickling. Like it's wild that, it's worked out. And I think anybody listening, like we all start from zero. And you just have to keep going. And I also am just so, so dang grateful that a lot of stuff fell into place for me. You know, I always try to tell people, like, there's a lot of luck, but there's a lot of hard work. But yeah. I have been fortunate to, I don't know, like, have great people give me shots and chances. And other people who work probably just as hard as me didn't. So that's why I do podcasts like this. Like, I'm trying to help people. Like, you can do it. Anyway, that's way past 2 minutes.
Matt,
trying to help people.
Defining moment. Tell me.
In all honesty, one of the kind of odd things about me is I kind of like not being known who I am. Mm. I don't really need that. But I do like being, you know, I'm the guy that people go to whenever they need an important project, essentially mastered, taken across the line. You know, like a little bit of like man behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz. Yeah. I like being able to go to a show and no one really knows who I am. Really, except for like, I don't know, if there's people who like, say there's like a local blogger or something like that who I've like met a handful of times. It's like, I don't know, I might know him. I might know like a client or two, just like passively. It's like, I may have told them I mastered their record or something like that. And I mean, they know me, they know my name, but no one really puts a face to my name.
Yeah.
As far as like, I wouldn't even say a defining turning point, but something that I really like and that I take pride in, I guess would be, I really just like when artists come to me and reach out because of other records that I've done.
Nice.
It's probably the most gratifying part of everything is like, you like something else that I did and your record, it's like, and you're not even with working with like the same mixer or the same producer. You just heard that record or you listened to, you know, my demo reel or whatever we're calling our playlist on Spotify. And just, I really like what you did with this record. I love how this sounds and I'd be honored if you might be my mastering engineer for this record.
Yeah.
And I don't know, to me, that's like my like greatest point of like gratitude. And when that started happening, I would, let's say, define that as a turning point.
Mm. So, that's good. I like that.
Okay, maybe a few lighthearted little questions about the podcast itself, since we went pretty deep. We need a breather. What was your favorite episode of the podcast so far?
Ooh, fun question. Favorite episode.
You guys have been doing it for a while. A lot of content under your belt, yeah.
I feel like I gotta go through the thing.
I literally was like, I need to. I have like, I want to make sure I have the title right. Because sometimes we co-mingle topics.
I have like a favorite intro that Sam has done.
Favorite
intro? I definitely have those because they're all so unique.
You need like a compilation episode where you just use that intro for...
Let's see.
Yeah, right. A compilation of just all the intros and music and everything.
A lot of the early episodes are kind of interesting because I remember myself, I remember the episodes kind of taking some like turns I didn't think that they would take just because Sam and I were on different like wavelengths to some degree.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, cool. Let's let the episode just kind of go the way Sam's going to take it. And they always turn out really neat. So it's like, it's kind of neat to look back on some of these.
That was another curious thought.
The Athletic Greens episode was pretty great.
Oh my gosh. So funny. Why You Don't Have Clients. I know that was just one that like a lot of people, that was episode 80.
Your crack is showing.
Why You Don't Have Clients. That was funny. A lot of DMs from that one, I remember.
I was going to say, what was your most like reacted to episode?
Yeah, that one. Most reacted was, it's always the gear episodes. Literally.
There was that top 10 things like mixers are doing wrong.
Yeah, that was...
That one was like super like... everyone's like, you calling me out?
The most probably hate we got was from our first Luffs
episode. Oh, the AI one. No, yeah, the Atmos one.
The first... Atmos and Luffs, we literally... That's about the only time we've had a handful of people literally tell us to basically we're just awful people and wrong.
Like phone calls.
That's where we, yeah, like people DMing and trying to call us and tell us we're essentially ruining their career because they've chosen that path.
Wow. Which
is not my fault.
Oh, the first Luffs one, I remember you had a Facebook interaction. You'll have to tell Josh about that later. We can't.
That was like
those whose names shall not be mentioned.
I really honestly liked the one of my like favorite episodes, but not very popular, was when Matt and I interviewed our wives on the show.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I thought that was a lot of fun as far as like favorite for me.
That's a hard episode for me. That aired actually the day my wife was diagnosed with cancer.
Wow.
And it's actually how I remember. It's how I remember that day. It's like, it's a great episode, but I was like, it's kind of rough to look back on that one.
I'm sorry, that's that way for you, man.
No, I mean, that's just me.
I feel like I'm striking out today.
Wow. Yeah, Sam is
no,
really...
No, you're all good.
Just
money.
This whole,
you know.
That was totally like a mood killer of a sentence.
Matt's got like the most beautiful sentimental responses, and I'm over here just like some Scrooge McDuck over here.
What was your most awkward episode? Was there one you were just like, oh, this is all falling apart?
Didn't we have one that we didn't release? Hasn't there just been one?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look for it, but there is an unreleased episode.
There was one
episode
we did, and we were like, this is trash. Like, garbage.
I remember it. I remember the episode. We couldn't release it. It was... Do you mind if I say the name?
No, I'm trying to think what it is.
We can edit this out if it needs to be, but it's like, it was... Beep. Now let's just keep going. No, it was... I got on the tip of my tongue. It was why you and I do not like shootouts. But then, like, we got into the episode and we're like, wait, we get a lot of money from shootouts. Like, we get a lot of, like, business from shootouts.
Right.
But we both really don't like it. And then, like, people shoot me and Sam out. And we, Sam and I talk so much that we realize, you know, frequently that we're in a shootout. It hasn't happened in maybe a year, but.
Yeah, there was, like, a couple of years where Matt and I were crossing over and even, like, other engineers were in the mix. Like, it'd be like a shootout, like four or five people. And yeah, that episode we didn't put out. I feel like there was one other, though, that just was like a really trashy episode. Like, we had a really off. I want to say, wasn't it like.
Were we day drinking?
I don't know, maybe. Wasn't it like competition or something? We re-recorded an episode twice because the first version was really bad. I remember. Do you remember?
I do
that?
Remember that.
Whatever that topic was, we got done and we're like, neither of us said anything decent. And if we're going to do it again, we need to like definitely start over. Because it was just like full of bad strings of thought. Just the whole time it was like, no.
I mean, you know, having one that doesn't really come together out of, I don't know, 167, then it's like, it's kind of cool.
I
do remember that, though. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple episodes where the topics are kind of like, shmeh, now looking back.
Shmeh.
You know.
Do you get tired of just outlining your chain 150 times?
Yeah, definitely that.
You know what episode I think would have done great had COVID not come about? I flew to Nashville. It was like right, like 2 days before everything was locked down for COVID. And we had an episode come out and we released an episode. Like, looking back, it was probably in bad taste.
No.
But like, we essentially had like a response episode to COVID. And
the episode was true.
The episode was true. Everything came out. But looking back on it, we called it coronavirus and you. And I was like, ugh. But the one before that, the one before that came out 2 days earlier. And it's probably one of my favorite like intros and stuff. It was called Don't Catfish Your Clients. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That one.
That's funny.
And we had like a hillbilly intro. And I think I did like a pig call intro or something. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Okay, moving on. Enough.
Yeah, that's fine.
What's something like weirdly irrational, maybe potentially, that bothers you in like mixes or songs that you feel like you're always trying to fix or change? Like, maybe this is silly, but like for me, I feel like I'm always bothered when like verse two is boring or doesn't have enough energy. And like also there's something that bothers me about like where the click of the kick lives or sibilant the vocal might be. I don't know. Like the like weird things like that that maybe most people aren't in tune to, but like for whatever reason, it like really annoys me.
For me, it's when I get a song and they send me the reference they're going for, and it is polar opposites where I'm like, wow, you think this sounds like that? And then I have to make sure that was
somebody
right
like
song.
John Mayer or something.
Yeah, and they're like, "This is you know what we feel like it sounds like," and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, how? How is this possible?"
I've had those, yes.
That makes me really nervous, actually, because then I'm like, "Ooh, what kind of room is it? Like, how? If they really think this song sounds like that, it's either gonna go two ways, essentially, as it always does. One, they're just so unaware." That whatever I send back will be great because it's just so, like, they're obviously not that critical. Or two, you know, I make it sound like the reference or push it towards that. And then they're like, this is absolutely terrible. You know, they're like, it doesn't sound like the song or something, the reference. But that always makes me really nervous when I get a song, a mix, and then they send me the reference. And I'm like, whew. I was like, it's just so, like, it's just not even close. Like, the kick, the bass is totally different. The vocals, 3 dB louder, you know, the whatever. That really makes me feel like, oh, man, what do we, you know, that's a conversation to be had. That drives me not crazy, but it's really like a, oh, no. And then I'm just always surprised at, like, the lack of low end in records. Like, really am.
Interesting.
Like, it's daily. Like, people that, I'm just like, where is 65 and below? Where did it go? And I'm like, I kind of know, because most people work in rooms or on monitors that don't have that. So I kind of get that. But that is a continual thing of like, huh, the bottom end. And then people usually compliment, like, ooh, it's so full and the bottom end's nice. And they'll say, what did you do? And I'm like, I just, our base, and then I added 3 dB shelf, you know, at 65 and below. You didn't have any, base. And now it's here. And you like, and that's the thing is, too, that's what is a little interesting. People be like, ooh, I can tell the bass is so much better now. And I'm like, yeah, it's like there. It wasn't there. Like, it's, you can't not have low end energy. You know, the song feels so thin. And I don't say any of that in like a cocky way or whatever. It's just, and it honestly, I mean, Matt and I joke, like, keeps me in business on some level. Like, bad rooms and lack of monitors, like, keeps me in business, because I am hearing things more accurately in theory than most people, and then it makes me look really good. But sometimes, some days I'm like, guys, you all could do this. Like, just give yourself a chance to hear the full record, like the full range. But anyway, those are my two things that still, like, this far in, the disconnect between the mix and the reference, and then a lack of, like, bottom end. Okay. That's it.
Matt, irrational things that catch your ear all the time.
I'm going to be a touch mean, I guess, because there's no way to say this but being forward.
It's a safe spot.
But sometimes some things just need to be said. Is when people just have bad musical taste. That's my irrational thing. And I'm not saying, oh, well, my musical taste is superior, because, I mean, there's genres that I don't care for, and that's fine. And I understand when something, but, like, I can still recognize a good mix. But, like, and it's not like, oh, well, your music taste sucks, but it's more like a bad music taste as far as, like, you know, like, the tracking is just garbage, or
the songs.
Like, the mix comes in, and you're saying, like, if you could hear what I hear, you would not be doing what you're doing. And it's exactly what Sam said of, you know, the lack of low end is because people literally do not monitor that extension below where their near field monitors essentially, you know, taper off. And near field monitors aren't intended to have that type of extension. It kind of gets to, like, you know, people being cheap and people trying to make things as quick and cheap as possible. And I mean, it's kind of the way the world is right now, but there's that. I have something else. Oh, this one's funny. thinking that mastering can fix, like, something, like, in the, like you receive it and you're kind of like, oh, this is my problem now.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one else could really, you know, do this. And so if mastering can't fix it, I'm now the bad guy, because I'm the last guy who... It's kind of like you walk into the bathroom and you're like... Like, the smell of the bathroom is so putrid that it just blows your hair back. And you're like, whoa, what did somebody do in here? They just destroyed it. And then, like, but the thing is that, like, there's a line outside that bathroom, oh my gosh, you got to come out of it. And so everybody thinks that it was you because you did it. But, like, you're like, no, I just peed, man. I couldn't do that
just
quick.
I peed, man.
That wasn't me.
And, but, like,
I
now you're walking
it.
Out of
I just
there.
Mastered it. I didn't record it.
So funny.
Exactly. But now it's your problem. Everyone thought that you just, like, wrecked that toilet.
I need... Okay, so, here's an idea that you guys can steal, and I only want, like, 5%. But I want, like, a t-shirt that is somehow depicting what you just did, where it's, like, a stick figure walking out of the bathroom with, like stench smells, like, you know, like, stink lines coming out of it. But, like, the bathroom is, like, labeled, like, your song. and like you, the mastering engineer, is walking out of it, and you're going, "I just mastered it, man."
But now it's your problem. Because you're the last guy to touch it.
Look what you did.
I see the
shirt in my mind. There's a line of people waiting, and there's a guy walking out of the door with like stink lines, and like on his shirt it says mastering engineer, and like the door says song, and he's like, the thought bubble above his says, "I just mastered it, man. I didn't do that." That's it right there. There's the
and
shirt.
I mean, not to like carry on the reference, but then it's like literally everybody else in line then sticks your nose in it of why it's not good.
Dude, you can tell
when something's tracking. And it's like, you can have a fantastic mix, but if you're on like a Focusrite 2i2 with like the infamous air band turned on, and you're like, how come this sounds all like weird and kind of like A-listing and all this other stuff? And it's like, well, because you use something on everything expecting it was going to work. And now it's just, you just have all this kind of high-end garbage everywhere, and everyone like, you're expecting me to take a $100 to $200 converter, run it through 60 grand of gear, and make it sound great. It's like, we've said it before, mastering can only increase something by about a letter grade, sometimes two, if you can really get in there and you have permission to move.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're really only going to improve something by a letter grade. And it's just like, yeah, so, it's like, if the bathroom stinks, man, it just stinks.
I love that. So I think this is a fun conversation to tie things together. We talked about loudness, we talked about low end, and as me, as somebody who's a mixer, I think there's an inverse relationship between those two things. Obviously, that, you know, you guys want low end, and a lot of people, in order to get something loud, are taking that away. You know, monitoring aside and whatever. A lot of times, the quickest way to get something loud is to take the low end away. You get more headroom. You have more, you know, less voltage. And I mean, there is a level of conversation that has to happen around that, that if you do want something that is competitively loud, the low end has to be at a certain level. And if you're allowing low end to exist and you want loudness, something else has to suffer, or some other frequency range has to kind of go away. What do you guys think about that? Where does your head go that, you know, Sam, you're adding our bass, so what else is suffering? Where are you making up for the voltage that you're adding to then still have volume, essentially?
I think
what's actually the question? Like, would you mind just like stating it? Like,
that's a good point,
because it was kind of like an idea as a question.
Well, that's the point of it. It is an idea that I'm curious your thoughts on that idea of, I guess, if you want a big low end, if you are saying you want low end, but you also want loudness, what are you guys willing to sacrifice?
Gotcha. Thanks.
For me, our bass, to me, as plugin says, it's basically like creating tangible harmonic content to connect your ear to the tangible low end. So it's the appearance of more low end without really losing too much headroom, which is why I like our bass so much.
Because our bass isn't adding sub information, it's adding harmonics.
Not really. Yeah. It does on some level if you really crank it, but its initial thing is it somehow, synthesizes essentially a top-end frequency to the note you've picked, or to the frequency you've picked, to where your ear then goes, oh, there's more bottom end. Gotcha. Which is where it can sometimes, I think you've noted, Josh, it sounds like cloudy or muddy or something, because I think there is like some weird, you can get into, to me it sounds like a phase thing almost, that sound, or it just is like kind of this overwhelming like blanket or woof feeling. But for me, it's usually, I think I get away with it because I knock every song down like 15 dB to start. So I instantly create headroom, and someone I think this is how I've rendered it in my head. So even if the song is smashed to death, you know, say it's a brick, as soon as I knock it down 15 dB, I've got some room to play with. But then if I start adding low end to it, then it's creating new transients, immediately off that brick. So that brick's no longer a brick. So the brick could read -4 dR, which is like hella smashed. I knock it down 15, and all of a sudden it says it's like -10. And then I add like some low end or how I want to shape it based on what I think the mix is doing well or what they desired it to do to get to that level, then it might start saying like negative 13 DR. Like I've recreated essentially dynamics out of a Smash song. Then the way I smash things together with my basically like EQ limit, EQ limit, EQ limit thing, then I'm able to recreate that loudness just, to be honest, better than most people do it. Like at this stage, I do know I do it better, or it's what, or however you want to say it, differently to where people are like, that's what I wanted it to sound like.
Does low-end add transient, though? There's another question. Is low-end transient information? Because I don't know that it is. I think low-end does.
I mean, if I...
It can be.
Maybe there's a difference, and to be honest, like, I'm not the most educated. Like, dynamic range transient.
Sure.
Those are probably two different things, and I probably speak of them as if they're the same, and that's probably incorrect. Let's put that out there.
You're kind of getting into theory here.
Well,
too.
I understand the science of what you're saying, but that's kind of something that I've played with in my mind for a long time because I'm always trying to think about the envelope, let's use that word here, of the low end.
We are.
But the envelope of the low end isn't technically transient, I don't really believe, let's say, right? Like transient, when that word is used, I believe is a little more in tune with the actual like upper. Stuff,
yeah, I think like, most people think like snare transient or something like that, the really pokey ones. But I have kick transients in theory from the low end.
Yeah, but if you filter off the top end of a kick, the transient goes away.
Well, it's still there on some level. If you just drop a
What's going on in the room that you're able to hear? It's like if you have like low end transient, it's like you have like a ton of air, but it's just kind of down low and you're able to hear essentially like the resonant like area of that low end. I would argue that low end can be transient.
I mean, I would semi agree with you. I just other conversations I've had, I think transient is more in relation to the actual attack of something, and low end doesn't generally have attack, which is the only thing that I bring up in all this.
Yeah.
Which again,
I've been attacked by low end before.
I'm happy to say I don't quite know the answer to that.
Main thing was, you know, again, as somebody who's mixing, it's always like, great, the low end is good, but we're not loud enough, so now to get loud, I feel like I'm digging other stuff out, you know. I feel like I need to be like, okay, cool, now we have to sacrifice the low mids, or if we can't sacrifice the low mids, we got to really dig out the upper mids.
Correct.
We have to create a hole somewhere to get it loud.
I think that, though, is like where mastering engineer can shine. It's like we know techniques in theory. At least I know things that mix engineers don't. Like, I know that. But, I mean, there's things mix engineers know that I don't, like, at this stage. Like, there's definitely... I probably didn't think this way so much because I used to mix and master, but the longer I just master over and over and over again, I'm like, there are definitely things I do and know, call them tips or tricks or whatever, that do produce a louder, more full record, you know, than the mixer usually can do. And I think it's just, I just want to tell people it's not magic. It's a technique, you know?
Sure.
It's just like a technique and fiddling with something, you know, for 14 years straight, and you're fine tuning your process because people want, they're like, I want it loud and I want it big low end. So I've been just working on that for 14 straight years, and you eventually
keep doing understanding that. Understanding like, what how do the we get somewhat there? Sacrifice is
and I think the sacrifice is it's the sacrifice to me is really like I am giving up transients, like I'm sending back brick walls, but I've figured out a way to make it still feel I'm tricking your ear. That's what I'm doing. I am trying to trick your ear the whole time to think it has some dynamics and transients when really it doesn't, you know? Like people say, oh, the drums are punching louder. And I'm like, no, they're not. Like they're just like everything's bigger. Like the low end's bigger. So maybe it feels like they are, but like they're not actually the word punching. Like they're not punching harder because it's less dynamic. Like that.
You know, I dig that. No, I love that answer.
That's like a 12-minute answer.
No, the 12-minute answer got to the response, which I kind of already knew. I mean, you and I work together every day, but like I knew that you're willing to give up transients all day long.
Like, right.
Transients is right. not your currency.
No.
He said no.
No.
We only have a few minutes here. I'll let Matt chime in if he has anything he's willing to sacrifice, but I have a fun little way to take us out, too, I think.
Okay, great.
My answer is very short, and it's more of like, you know, operating on the psychology of a mix that would not have the adequate low end coming in to start with. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much that, like, if no end is present, then generally that mix also has something else going on in it that is worthy of being sacrificed.
Okay.
And so there is like a give and a take, a push and a pull. Mm-hmm. There's also like certain limiters where you can like dial in specific frequencies and whatnot of like, hi, don't pull these frequencies if you need to essentially reduce. And you can get down super granular, like down to, what is it? Newfangled's Elevate has like 24 bands that like you essentially can EQ how this thing's going to be removing content. And so generally, if something is going to be coming in with that kind of an error, let's say,
yeah,
because generally they're also, the way they're monitoring it, they're not thinking, oh, well, there's no low end here and I like it that way. They're probably like, yeah, I'm rocking with it. And it's just the way that they're monitoring it, they're not able to hear. And I'm not saying anyone's a bad guy, but at the same time, generally there's something else going on that can be sacrificed in order to essentially bring, like, make up for, like, essentially what you're going to have to sacrifice. So, for that low end.
I love it. That's what keeps me up at nights, is how can I have transients, low end, and loudness? That's all that I care about.
Good mixes, man.
Good. I don't.
They make the world go around.
I guess. Okay, let's take it home. But I think to end this, we could do like a Pensado's Place batter's box kind of style thing, where I say one word, and you guys both tell me the first word that comes to your mind, and you can only use one word.
Great.
No explanation, anything, just one word. And if I desire an explanation, I will request it. How's that sound?
That's fun. Okay.
Frightening.
I kind of like running this show. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun.
All right, rapid fire. Sam, you can put like music or something behind this even.
Okay, great.
Dynamics.
Expansion.
Matt.
Never enough.
What?
Never enough.
Never enough.
Never enough. Okay.
That's hyphenated, so it's one word.
Okay. Wide.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Wide?
Wide.
Oh, wide. Dude in the mix.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, I guess that's that one word. Sorry.
It's fine. It could be like that. I'll allow it.
When I hear wide, I immediately think of like phase, and essentially it's kind of like more of a reaction to like checking phase.
Okay.
Because
like
normally stuff is too wide or it's not in phase.
Pizza.
Mine.
Sam's.
Loud.
Did you say loud?
Loud.
Oh, loud. Oh, man. Clipping.
I'm an old man. My first one was earplugs.
So good.
Transient.
Designer is the immediate thing. Designer. That's literally came in my head, the brand transit designer. I'm gonna say
I didn't also, hear you said desire.
Designer, the company transient designer, the piece of equipment. The real answer is probably I don't understand it.
That's what I mean. Sam, do not know transient.
Don't know transients.
Ooh, loudness, low end. Sam. Okay, Matt, transient, go.
I don't have anything that immediately comes to mind.
Nothing comes to mind when the word transient is said.
It's a great answer. Nothing.
I love talking.
Yeah, nothing.
It's talking to mastering blank. Engineers is my favorite. You guys are like,
you're invited back.
What's transient?
We've always wanted you on the show, but I never knew in this capacity, and now I want more of it. So
we need a host.
You're a permanent fixture.
Mixing.
Underrated.
I mean, highly underrated.
Yeah. God bless you, Mixer.
Mastering.
I don't know why, like, I watch people who mix, and I'm like, how do you not pull your hair out? But I'm sure people look at mastering engineers, and they're like, how do you not pull your hair out? As like, superhero.
You make more money than me.
That's my mind. Superhero. Raise your rates, Josh.
Mastering.
Easy.
Finishing.
Money.
Money.
It's easier than mixing.
Sam just replies back with like Rolex. Bentley's.
Bugatti.
Miami.
Okay. Compose ourselves here. The next word. Digital.
Disappointment was my disappointing sadness.
I think it's making like a massive comeback. I think that like the analog emulations are like, I mean, the digital emulations of analog are pretty incredible. And yeah, mine would be comeback.
Okay. Mm. Analog.
King.
Underrated.
Underrated, yeah.
Whiskey.
Scotch.
Whiskey. Man, I just think of Sam drunk. My drunk days were from whiskey. Just hammered. Oh, different lifetime.
Bright.
Smooth.
Painful.
Smooth. Mm. Complete opposites.
Smooth bright.
Plug-in.
1176.
Mm. Oh, are we going for plugins?
I just said the word plug-in. Whatever comes first.
Like you're out.
I mean, I don't really have one.
Matt goes blank.
I only respond in analog.
Oh, that's funny.
Saturation.
Inflator.
The Saturn.
Limiter.
L2.
Limitless.
Josh Bonanno.
Such a good friend.
Banana.
That's all Bonanno. I got for you guys. Bonanno. That was fun.
Bonanno.
Josh, I should have just started just rambling words off, but that's all I had written.
Potato.
You're like, all right, now we're going to go to the visual part. Here's the Rorschach things from
what do you see from this
local psychologist. Yeah.
Guys, okay. This is fun. Any final words from either of you?
Are you going to take us home, Josh?
I guess I have to at this point. I've run the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I don't normally listen to this far into your episode, so I don't really know how this part goes.
I've always wondered.
You got to do those analytics. You got to find out how long people are listening. You got to retain their... I guarantee this is the longest watched episode from most viewers because I kept it quick and punchy, you know?
I bet you're right.
I'm done with my...
Wait, so my question, when do you normally tune out?
When do I normally tune out? I don't know. When I'm done driving for 30 minutes. So I usually get like, unless it's like really interesting, then I will like start it back up. But
this is good.
But you normally don't make it this far.
I usually will like skip some of the banter in the beginning and then I'll catch like the meat and potatoes of it. And then I'll kind of just,
haven't heard us give you a shout out every episode at the end.
Every
episode ends with, and shout out to Josh Bonanno.
Sponsored by, I've been sponsoring this podcast without even knowing it.
Sponsored by Josh Bonanno.
No, that's great. I love this conversation. I love what you guys are doing with the podcast. I think you guys are educating in a fun way that is real. You know, I think a lot of other people do these types of things and it's a little, not pretentious, but it's just done in a way that doesn't seem attainable to some people. And I think you guys just talking is, you know, human, and I enjoy any sort of
appreciate it
content that is just that way, which is why I like both you guys a lot. And it's an honor to be a part.
Appreciate it.
And I hope for everyone listening, they enjoyed this podcast featuring me, Josh Bonanno. If you need mixing,
yep.
I might be your guy. I might not. We can talk about it. Sam and Matt, both genuine dudes who can help you finish records as well. Hit them up. thanks for listening. You know, like, subscribe, follow along, and maybe I'll see you guys again sometime soon.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I got for you.
All you got to do is say cue the music.
Cue the music, Sam.
Cue it.
Okay.
Bye. See y'all.
Bye.